be watching Connor while Jen, Devil, and I are searching for Michael. I asked Devil to pick Jen up. I figured three sets of eyes were better than two, but I'm starting to lose hope. Maybe he left, Hayden. Jen's words strike fear deep inside of me. Cold hits me. Could I be wrong about Michael? Would he have left? I don't... Bullshit. I'm just saying, Jen defends.
I don't give a fuck what you're saying. I was with that man when Hayden left the first time. He was a wreck. He hauled ass after her just to make sure she was okay, and he stood outside her home every fucking night for a month, all to keep her safe. Nothing, and I mean nothing, would make him leave of his own free will. Not now, not ever. His whole life is Hayden and that boy.
Devil's words make my heart swell. Tears sting my eyes, and I feel like I'm suffocating in fear. I close my eyes, trying to get a grip on it all. Devil reaches over and puts his hand on my shoulder, giving it a squeeze. Devil's right. Michael wouldn't leave me or Connor. He loves us, I tell Jen, and my heart turns over just saying the words out loud. Then where the hell is he? Blade has him, I whisper the words Devil and I are both thinking. Devil pulls into an empty parking lot that goes to an old abandoned grocery store.
It's starting to look that way, he says resignedly.
What do we do? How do we find him? It's really impossible to keep the fear out of my voice now.
I think I need to call in the brothers. I know that might not sit well with you, Hayden, but...
I'm not important now. If they can help him, call them. We need Michael back. We need him back now, Devil. Now, I stress, grabbing Devil's upper arm to plead with him. I'm terrified about what Blade could be doing to him even now.
Then let's get Connor and go back to your house and set up a command center.
I don't want to wait. We need to...
Blade might contact you still. He's going to want Connor. We need to be there just in case, Hayden.
But Connor...
We'll be safer at home with you where there are people guarding you both.
I swallow down my fear and nod my agreement, all while sending up a silent prayer. Please let Michael be okay. Please, God, let him be okay.
Chapter 42. Beast. My head feels like someone is inside of it with a sledgehammer. I keep my eyes closed, doing my best to piece things together. My body is sore, but everything seems to be working. My arms are above my head, and from the pain coming from my wrists, I'd say I'm tied up by them. My legs are dangling, so I'm definitely off the floor. Slowly, I open my eyes. The light in here is shit, and it takes me a bit to make out exactly where I'm at. It's an old warehouse of some type. Everything around me is either metal or concrete, and there's a stench in the room. Reminds me of a mixture of old piss that's been sitting for days and rats. My nose curls in revolt. I look around a little more. To be honest, I'm expecting to see Blade. I'm more than a little pissed at myself that the fucker managed to get the drop on me. He's not there, though. No one is. I seem to be alone. I move my hands, experimenting to see if there's any give in the ropes. The rope is made of a harsh nylon, and it's tied so tight my fingers are numb from the lack of circulation. I do my best to move my hands apart, but the rope refuses to give. I can already tell the skin beneath the rope is raw. I have to wonder how long I've been hanging like this. My tied, joined hands are being held by a giant meat hook, like you'd see in a butcher's freezer. Only instead of a slab of beef, it's me hanging. I look around for something, anything that might help get me free. I come up with nothing. I see you are finally awake. I was beginning to wonder. I thought perhaps we had put too much of the drug into the darts. I would have hated to kill you before we met. That wouldn't have been fun at all. A man speaks up from the corner. He's hidden in the shadows, and I can't make him out at all at first. Then he takes a step out, and then another one. Sadly, he doesn't look a bit more familiar. I don't get it. I don't know him. Why is he holding me here? Why did he kidnap me? Who are... I end up coughing before I can finish the words. My throat is so dry it feels like I have sand in it. "Who are you?" "Who I am might surprise you," the man says, telling me nothing. "So surprise me then," I demand, frustrated. I keep trying to work my hands free, but I know it's useless. "I will, eventually. You're going to be with me for quite a while. I can't rush this. My revenge is one I have to savor," the asshole says. My eyes are starting to focus, and I can see him clearer now. He's got oily hair that falls to his shoulders. His face is ravaged by scars, though I suppose I am the last one to worry about that. His fingers are covered in rings. He has them on every one, and sometimes there are two on one finger, maybe more. He's wearing an expensive suit, though it's not really tailored well. He's nothing like the Donahues, so I can't figure out why he feels he owes me revenge. "Listen, I think you got the wrong guy. We don't know..." "Trust me, Mr. Jameson. I know exactly who you are, and soon you will know who I am." "Fine, then just tell..." "I will tell you, but not today. Perhaps tomorrow. Tonight I shall let you rest and anticipate all the fun we will have tomorrow." "Listen, you sad fuck, if you want to go toe-to-toe with me, then let's do this shit," I growl. It's useless, though. The man ignores me, turns out the already pale light in the room, and slams a heavy steel door behind him. "Fuck," I scream. I've got to figure out how to get loose from here. I have to get back to Hayden and Connor. I need to make sure whoever this man is, he can't touch them. I just have no fucking idea how I'm going to do that.
Chapter 43. Hayden.
"You okay, Hayden?"
Devil asks from the door of the nursery. I don't turn around and look at him. I remain looking down into the crib, giving him my back. It's the next day, and Michael is nowhere to be found. We've heard nothing from him. Or anyone. No, I'm not okay. What kind of question is that? Am I okay? Hell no. I'm slowly dying. We still haven't heard from Blake. We're not even sure he's the one who has Michael. We're not sure Michael is still...
"Hayden,"
Devil interjects, but I'm driven to finish it, to speak my greatest fear. "We're not even sure Michael is still..." I stop talking as my voice breaks. I have to force myself to continue because the word is choking me and torturing me with just its presence. "Alive," I finally finish.
"He's alive. Michael is a fucking tough bastard. He won't give up until he's back here with you,"
Devil argues. Maybe I should try to believe him, but I can't. I just feel hollow. It all feels empty and hollow. I need Michael. "Yeah," I tell him quietly. "I just want this conversation done. I want to stand here and look at my son. Watch the way the dark curls fall on his head. See how peaceful his face looks when he sleeps and take in his beautiful baby smell."
"Diesel is coming in with 5 of his men. Skull and Michael's old crew are, too, but they will probably be a few days behind my club."
"Why are you calling him Michael? What happened to Sunshine?" I ask. I could care less about the men showing up. He has confidence in them, but I don't. I'm not sure I have confidence in anything anymore.
"I'll be back to calling him Sunshine soon. It's no fun unless he's here to give me shit over it. I like that grunt and the look of disgust he likes to send my way,"
Devil answers. If my heart didn't feel like it was being ripped out of my chest, I could almost smile. My fingers tighten on the railing of the crib as I imagine Michael looking at me with that same look and grunting. I'd give anything in the world just to have him here, grunting at me again. "He did have a way with a grunt," I whisper. I close my eyes, and I can almost feel his arms go around me, warming this deep chill that seems to have settled into my body, feel his beard tickle my neck, and hear his voice vibrate as he says my name. I didn't appreciate how amazing that was when I had it. I didn't take enough time to cement it in my memory. The fear that seems lodged inside of my throat right now is entirely selfish. It's not because I'm worrying about what is happening to Michael right now. It's because I'm petrified he won't make it back to me and I'll never feel him hold me again. I don't know if I could survive.
Hayden, you have to snap out of it. You have to believe that Michael is going to be okay. He'll survive this. He's going to come back to you,
Devil says. And he must have moved from the door because I feel his arms go around me as if to hold me. It feels wrong. It all feels so wrong. His touch is not sexual. It's meant to be comforting, but regardless, it's not Michael's. I jerk away from him, as if his touch was acid and burns me. I turn and look at him, and I hate the look on Devil's face. He's not being truthful. He might be spouting all this nonsense about Michael making it back, but he doesn't truly believe it. I see the truth in his eyes right now, too. He thinks Michael is dead. I saw the truth in his eyes when we discovered the security camera at the bakery was disabled. I want to scream at Devil for giving up and trying to placate me. I want to demand he leave. Before I can do any of that, his phone rings. I turn away to stare at my son again, mine and Michael's son. Because that's who Connor is.
Where?
I hear Devil say in the background. Something in his voice makes me turn around.
I'll have someone there in 10. Don't touch anything, he orders.
When he hangs up, I immediately ask, what is it?
Victor's men have found Michael's truck,
he answers. And fear and hope wage a war inside of me, all over again. Was Michael there? Where did they find it?
It was just the truck. There's no sign of Michael.
Where? Can we go and see it? Maybe there's a clue in it that might help us find him. I'll get Dee Dee to watch over Connor. There's still one of Victor's men here. He can watch over them and we'll-
Hayden, slow down. You need to stay here where you're safe. Michael's truck was found half submerged in Miller's Lake.
Are they sure he wasn't?
He wasn't in it. My man said it looked like someone had tried to push it in and left it alone when it didn't sink in further.
I'm going to see it, I tell him, already headed to my guest room to tell Dee Dee. She dropped her daughter off at her mom's and then came here to help with Connor. I told her it wasn't necessary then, but now I'm glad she did.
Hayden.
I'm going, Devil, I growl over my shoulder, and in a tone Michael could be proud of. I just hope there's something there that will give me an idea of what happened to Michael.
Chapter 44. Beast. You're not looking so good over there, Beast. I shake my head to try and clear it. I've been here just 4 days. At least I think that's how long. The fucking asshole who comes in here to torture me daily still hasn't told me who he is. He keeps telling me that he'll tell me when the time is right. The way he's been working, I figure the time will be right when I'm dead. I'm still hanging from a hook. The skin around my wrists have pretty much disintegrated, leaving a raw, meaty ring that is burning like fuck, either from holding my weight or from infection. I can't tell which. The bastard is enjoying torturing me. The first day I laughed at him as he turned the overhead water sprinkler on me. Who does that shit? Then he added the electricity that came from a battery and charger he had wheeled in. The current he shocked me with was small at first, though it did hurt like a bitch. The second day he increased it to the point that I thought he was going to kill me then. My body went through seizures for long, agonizing minutes, even after the cables were removed. I've been hanging here, wondering how much more I could take. 3 or 4 days might not seem like a lot, but those days are without food, water, and while getting enough volts to leave my head fucked up. I shake myself to try and concentrate on the here and now. I knew you were behind this blade, you cocksucker. You shouldn't have tried to come between me and what's mine, Beast. You had to know I'd get you. Eventually. Hayden's not yours, she's never been yours. Not my fault you're too much of a pussy to accept that, I growl. Big talk from a man who's hanging like a slab of meat. Get me down from here and face me like a man, I goad him. Honestly, in the fucking shape I'm in, I'm not sure I could take him, but I sure as hell would like the chance to try. He can't get you down, He's not in charge, the other man says, coming in through the door on the side. I close my eyes, doing my best to try and focus. I squint them tightly and reopen them. It doesn't help much, but I can see the man walking towards Blade. I thought you might be halfway smart. What the fuck you doing helping out this sad fuck? I ask him, hating that my voice is starting to sound weaker. A sad fact, we do not pick our family. Family? I ask, surprised. They remind me nothing of each other, except for the fact I want them both dead. He's my brother, just like Preacher. I don't like either of them, but a man must defend his family, or else he is not a man, the guy says, and I feel like he's speaking in riddles. Who the fuck is Preacher? I growl, feeling a wave of nausea threatening to overcome me. The man you killed. You're going to have to be more specific. I've killed a lot of men, I respond, counting backwards in my head to fight down the urge to retch empty air. That's all that is left when I vomit now, and I won't do that in front of these fuckers. I won't give them the satisfaction. My brother you burned alive in my club, you motherfucker! Blade screams, charging at me. He has a knife drawn and he stabs it into me, connecting somewhere below my stomach. I can't tell where exactly. The pain is intense, but when he hit my body I began swaying back and forth. The rope I'm dangling on jerks, and the rough nylon cuts into my raw skin, and that pain hurts much worse than anything else. I fight the pain down, when it feels like I'm going to lose consciousness. I'm still swaying, but I see the other guy grab Blade by his collar and pull him back. What the fuck do you think you are doing, Ernest? This one is mine. He owes me. You do not touch him! The guy screams at Blade while slapping him hard across the face with the back of his hand. I figure with the amount of rings on his hand, that has to fucking hurt. His name is Ernest? Fuck, that's rich. I grunt, wondering if it wouldn't be smarter to give in to the pain and black out at this point. Shut up! Blade screams. And he never had a solid foot on sanity to begin with, but he definitely seems unhinged now. Do you see how he mocks me? He killed Preacher and let him burn inside my club. He took Hayden and the baby too. Then he kept them from me. He has to die. I need to kill him. I'm the one who needs revenge, Drummer. Beast destroyed everything I built. He took away everything. Blade continues, and I do my best to let my tired mind pick up the details. Jesus, that fucking reverend who tried to take Hayden was your brother? You got quite the twisted family tree. Drummer? I tell him, stressing his name, so he knows I at least have that information now. I will get revenge for our brother, and I'll reclaim his woman and child and make them mine. This is none of your concern, Drummer says, and his words chill my blood like ice. I thought I was fading, but there's no way I'm letting this asshole get his hands on Hayden or Connor. Diesel will be working on finding me. I just need to keep him distracted. Hayden and the baby are mine, I growl. You'll be dead soon, Drummer shrugs. But then, they weren't yours to begin with, were they? They've always been mine, I argue. No, they belong to my brother, Preacher, first. Do you spend your life taking women from other men? Can you not claim one of your own? Are you so weak that you have to take what another man owns? Drummer asks, turning to look at me. Preacher? Is that what that ass clown told you? Preacher never touched Hayden. Blade did. He kept her caged up like an animal until she thought he saved her by setting her free. That's the only way his ass can get a woman. He has to make himself look like a hero because he knows once they see how small his dick is, they'll run away. Fuck you. Hayden was mine. You and those fucking Torasani had to get involved, but I told you I'd make you pay. I'm going to make you all pay. You lied to me, Drummer screams as he turns to Blade. His hand goes around Blade's throat. I needed revenge, Blade screams out, clawing at his brother's hand. Drummer pushes him all the way to the wall. Blade's body hits with a large thud. You lied to me about everything. Drummer's back is to me, and I can't see much of what is going on, but from the choking sounds I'm hearing, I think Blade will be dead soon. And you conveniently left out the Torasani, didn't you, brother? Drummer hisses. Good riddance, Blade. No! Blade screams. I didn't lie about your daughter. That was the truth, I swear. You wouldn't have helped if you had known about the Torasani and... His words end with a horrible gurgle. As Drummer steps away from Blade, I see him fall to the ground, his head at a weird angle. I squint to focus my vision and see that Drummer has slit Blade's throat. He didn't do it gentle, either. The cut is ragged, and from the blood on Drummer's hands, I'd say he finished the job up by his hand. We'll resume our torture session tomorrow. I've found I've killed enough for today. Drummer tells me, and his tone and voice are almost normal now. It's like someone flipped a switch off from anger to calm. Christ. He turns out the light and leaves. I listen to the door slamming and wait as the sound echoes in the room. I wanted to ask Drummer exactly what Blade meant about his daughter, but I didn't. It will be something I goad him with whenever he comes back. For now, I close my eyes, giving myself permission to rest. Just like every day since I've been here, when I close my eyes, I'm surrounded by a feeling of warmth and the fragrance of strawberries. Annabelle is with me.
Chapter 45. Hayden.
You must be my boy's cariño, Hayden.
I jerk up at the voice. I look up to see an older man, probably late 40s, looking down at me. He's obviously of Spanish descent. You can tell from looking at him as well as the language. His dark hair glistens. There are deep shimmers of gray thrown in, and it makes him look sexier somehow. He's covered in ink, and when I say covered, I mean I can see it on his neck, his fingers, and his arms. Basically, all of his skin that's visible past his white t-shirt and his black MC cut is ink-covered. I know instantly who it is, because Michael has told me about him. I'm just surprised to see him. I thought Devil said he would take longer than Diesel to get here. You must be Skull, I answer, standing up. I've been sitting in the chair by Connor's bed. Connor is sleeping, but being with him helps me to calm my nerves.
Do not get up, querida. I do not mean to bother you. I just wanted to see you.
Why?
Because you are a spot upon my conscience.
I stuff my hands into the back pockets of my jeans to keep from wringing them together. Skull's eyes are literally boring into me, making me uncomfortable. I don't know what you mean.
I should have sent men to check on you sooner. My anger at your brother.
He shrugs, trailing off before finally adding,
Mi ira me cego.
I don't remember much about high school Spanish, but I get the gist. He let his anger get the better of him. I'm not sure how I feel about my brother at this point. I know he betrayed me. I know I owe him nothing, and it might make me an unfeeling bitch, but I don't grieve him. I don't miss him. So I shrug off Skull's concern now. My brother was an asshole.
See, he was, but he knew he was dying, and he asked me to have someone protect you, and I did not. I didn't out of anger at what he had cost me. It was wrong of me, querida. I'm sorry for that.
Is that the reason you sent Michael my way?
See, though way too late to...
The way I look at it is, I owe you for sending Michael into my life. Whatever else happened doesn't matter now. Not really, I tell him, unsure of how I feel, knowing my brother worried about me as he was dying. Apparently, I really am cold, because it just seems too little too late.
On this, we do not agree, querida. I feel it is I that is in your duela.
Can we just speak English here? I finally ask him, frustrated. Skull laughs. I didn't expect that at all.
You remind me much of mi cielo, and my Beth. You would like her. I just meant, Hayden, that I think I am in your debt.
I don't agree, but if you bring Michael home to me, we can call it even. His face goes serious with my words, almost grim.
I will do my best, querida. I promise you that.
I nod, and then turn back around to look at Connor dismissing him. I can't deal with him right now. I can't deal with any of them. They don't understand. It's not their world that is on the line. It's mine.
Chapter 46. Beast. 2 more days in hell, I think. Fuck, I'm not sure anymore. I have a fever. The cut that Blade gave me wasn't deep, but his knife was as fucking dirty as the rest of him. I haven't seen much of Drummer. He came in and juiced me a couple of times. He keeps talking cryptically about shit that I can't really grasp and then leaves. He's been preoccupied since he offed his brother. I'd like to say it's because he felt bad about it, but since his brother's body is over in the corner stinking, I doubt it. I closed my eyes, letting my head loll back. I'm exhausted. I need to just quit fighting it. Devil will watch over Hayden and Connor. He'll make sure they're safe. I'm just so tired. I'm almost out again when a familiar warmth fills my system and the scent of strawberries blossoms around me, overtaking the horrid smell of Blade. Hold on, Daddy. Hayden is coming. I hear the voice. I've heard it several times today, or maybe the last 2 days. I can't remember. Everything is hazy. I know logically it can't be real. The infection has probably spread to the point that I'm delirious. Still, the words chill me. No, I scream out into the nothingness. Hayden can't come. She can't be here. She doesn't belong here. But she does. I think it would be marvelous to have her join our little party. Her and Connor. I'm working on arranging that now. No, you don't need to involve her. Your fight is with me. I'm the one who killed your brother. Do whatever you want to me, but leave Hayden and my son out of this. I growl, screaming the words, senselessly trying to get free. It doesn't help. I end up swaying back and forth and feel the pain of the ropes. You would have thought my hands would stop hurting after all this time. The truth is, it's more painful now, because my hands are constantly numb. It's like they're persistently asleep from being locked in the upright position and holding all my weight, without a break. Because of that, the pain takes on an added depth. Your son. How easy you lay claim to another man's child. It is pathetic. Our fight has nothing to do with my brothers. They were idiots from the beginning. I tried my best, but their blood was tainted by their whore of a mother. My father was a lot like you, Beast. He was never choosy about where he stuck his dick. What is our fight about, then? Tell me, asshole. Just tell me already. I growl, still fueled by panic at the idea of this monster getting his hands on Hayden or Connor. You took the most valuable thing a man can have from me. I plan on taking it from you. It seems only fair. He shrugs as he walks toward me. He's getting ready to send more electricity through my body. Will this be the one that kills me? On their own, they're not powerful enough to achieve it, but I've been withstanding this for days. Fucking days. Maybe even a week or longer. Can I truly stand much more? I want to say no, but every time I get close to caving, I see Hayden's face. I hear Connor's little baby noises. I feel Annabelle surround me. And I hold on. I once was a man who had nothing. Now, when I have everything to live for, I will most likely die. You're fucking crazy. Hayden and Connor have nothing to do with whatever score you have to settle with me. They're innocent. Drummer attaches the cables on me, and I feel the water begin to drench me. I know what's coming next. I despise it, but I feel fear. I don't know if I'm strong enough to keep surviving this, and I need to. I need to be strong for Hayden. Have you not figured it out yet that no one is innocent in this world? Hayden is, I growl, trying to kick out at the asshole when he gets close to me. It doesn't come as a surprise when I achieve nothing. I'm so weak I can barely manage to move my legs. She might be, but Jan wasn't. Was she, Beast? My blood runs cold at the name. Jan. I see you're trying to understand. Maybe you already do, but are just refusing to admit it. I don't know what... Let me clear it up for you. He interrupts me as he walks back to the battery charger. Jan was mine. She was a lying cunt, but she was mine. She left me for another man. One who would put up with her lying and whoring. One who was not man enough to punish her. You're lying, I cry out, refusing to believe him. Could all this have to do with Jan? Hasn't she ruined my life enough? Imagine my surprise when I find out the lying bitch was pregnant with my daughter. No, 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 no. No! The word keeps repeating in my head. He can't be saying what it sounds like. It's a trick brought on by the infection. It has to be. Imagine my surprise. he continues, even as my mind tries to reject what he's saying. When I found out my daughter died before I ever knew about her. You see, Beast, we have a lot in common, and I'm going to take what you claim as yours, just like you took from me. He throws the charge, and instantly my body begins shaking. He doesn't leave it on long, but it feels like an eternity. He's gone mere moments later, even before I have stopped convulsing. The water goes off, but I don't notice it. The wetness from the water is pouring down my face, but it could be from tears. I'm crying. I'm crying, and my body is swaying from the force of the sobs. No, no, no. No. I just keep repeating the words over and over until slowly I'm enveloped with the heat and the scent of strawberries. My tears fall harder, but the words change to just one. It's just one, but I cry it out in a sound so full of sorrow I couldn't explain it to another person. It's being torn from what's left of me because I'm shattered. Completely broken. Crying alone in the dark and sobbing my daughter's name. Annabelle.
Chapter 47. Hayden. Have you found him yet? I ask Devil. The look on his face gives me the answer. I give a scream that's pure frustration and stomp off. He follows me, but I wish he wouldn't. I feel like we've been doing nothing but twiddling our damn thumbs. Each day that passes, I begin to lose a little more hope. I know that every day that goes by is another day that Michael could be dying. Or dead. Devil and Skull both assure me over and over that they are doing everything they can to find Michael, but from where I'm sitting, it's just not working.
Hayden, where are you going?
Devil asks when I make it to the kitchen door. I hold my head down at the doorway and do my best to get control of my emotions. I'm going into work, I tell him, pulling in a deep breath.
I don't think that's wise right now. There's too much unknown. I think it would...
I'll take one of Victor's goons with me, Devil. I just have to get out of here. I think if I spend one more hour inside these four walls not knowing where Michael is or what is happening to him, I'm going to go insane. I just need... air.
Hayden.
Please, Devil, I ask, looking over my shoulder and not bothering to disguise the anguish I feel inside. He studies me for a minute before finally agreeing.
Luke. You follow her and stay one step behind her. Don't let anything happen to her. Got it,
I hear the man say behind me. I'm not sure which one is Luke. I don't really care. I make it to my car and put my head down on the steering wheel. That's when I let the tears fall. Not many. If I give in to all of them, I'll never get out of here. I reach into the console, getting a tissue, and just my luck, it's empty. I don't see anything around the cup holder, either. I look above the visor, and a folded white sheet of paper falls out and floats to my lap. I don't remember putting it there, but life has been crazy. I unfold it carefully, my heart nearly stopping at what I read. I've got Beast. All I want is you and Connor. If you want to keep him alive, ditch your guards and meet me out at the old clothing factory on the state line. Any sign you have company and he's dead. That's it. Nothing else. It has to be Blade, though I will admit the writing, while similar, looks different. I want to take it straight to Devil. I start to, but then I panic. What if they all show up and the bastard kills Michael? I can't let that happen. I'm not stupid. I know if I walk in, especially without Connor, chances are Blade will kill both of us. I don't doubt that's been his plan all along. I have a big decision, but in the end, there's nothing else I can do. I wad the paper up in my hand, get out of the car, and walk back to the house. I look over my shoulder at the man that Devil has following me. Luke. I've decided I would rather spend time with Connor, I tell him. He shrugs, and then walks around the house where a couple of the other men are standing. I thought you were going into work. Dee Dee asks, surprised when I come in the nursery. My heart is beating in double time. I don't answer at first. The enormity of what is going on is almost too much. I go to the cradle and pick up Connor. He places his little chubby hands against my chest as I cradle him close, I kiss the top of his head and breathe in his scent as I war with the decision I'm about to make. Didi, I need a favor, I whisper, almost afraid of what I'm going to say. What's going through that head of yours? I know where Michael is, I answer shakily.
Oh my God, that's great. You need to tell Devil and the men so they can...
I can't do that. Why in the hell can't you? She asks, her voice full of disbelief. I reach out my hand to her and pass off the wadded sheet of paper. I sit down in the glider, kissing on Connor while she reads it. Dee Dee sits down on the oversized chair that Michael purchased for the room because he said he liked to sit and watch me feed the baby. Her face goes white. I know what you're thinking, Hayden, and you can't. I don't have a choice.
You do. You tell Devil and Skull and you let them
get Michael killed? If there's the smallest chance to save him, Dee Dee, I have to take it.
Will you listen to yourself? You're not some freaking Bruce Willis action figure. You're Hayden Graham. You have a small child depending on you. You don't have martial arts training, and you suck at shooting a gun. You have a history of panic attacks.
I haven't had one in forever.
You're going to therapy because of them.
But I'm better. I have to do this, Dee Dee. I can do it with you or without you, but I am doing it. Hayden, this is crazy. She tries arguing with me one more time. Michael is my world, Dee Dee. I have to do this. I have to give him every chance of survival.
Are you listening to yourself? Don't you think Skull and Devil would have a better chance of getting Michael back?
Maybe if they manage to get inside the warehouse, but they won't get that chance unless I go first to distract them. Dee Dee sighs, looking at me. Maybe she finally understands that she's not going to change my mind.
What's your plan?
I need you to help me get out of here and then give me at least a 30-minute head start before you tell Devil where I'm at.
Gee, is that all?
Well, that and, you know, those things your brother gave you for self-defense when you moved out here? I need to borrow them.
Because a taser gun and brass knuckles will protect you from lunatics, she huffs.
Well, I figure I can get that and my letter opener by whoever is watching.
A letter opener.
Will you just please let me borrow them?
This is the stupidest, most asinine thing I've ever been involved in. You're basically asking me to help get my best friend killed. Do you even realize that? Jesus!
She's complaining the entire time, but she gathers the things I asked for out of her purse.
What the hell is going to happen to Connor if you die, Hayden? Have you thought of that?
You'll take care of him and make sure he has a world that's filled with love, I tell her, trying to keep the pain and terror out of my voice. Hayden, she says, her voice cracking as traces of tears begin to gather in her eyes. Please, Dee Dee, I'm barely hanging on here. If you help me distract Diesel, let me take your car and you do your part. Hopefully I'll be here for Connor and Michael.
I give you 30 minutes and then send the cavalry. I got it.
But do you honestly think these men are going to let you drive out of here on your own? They will if they think I'm you.
Jesus. Okay, tell me what you want me to do, she says.
I'm still petrified, but I'm ignoring it and concentrating on the fact that finally I will be doing something to help Michael. He just has to hold on. Chapter 48, Hayden. After a van for an hour and a half, breaking all speed limits to try and keep my lead over Devil, Skull, and the others, Dee Dee texted me almost an hour ago to tell me shit had hit the fan. I know they're following me now, and that's good and bad. I need to get inside and keep Blade distracted while they move in. They know my plan by now. Dee Dee would have told them. I don't imagine that went over well. Or at all. I pull into the empty parking lot, feeling nauseous. I sit there and let the feeling slowly ease before I move. Fear and adrenaline are warring with each other, but I'm managing to keep all signs of panic at bay. I guess therapy is helping after all. I pull my hood down and shake my hair free. I needed all of Skull's men and Victor's to believe I was Dee Dee, so I wore her hoodie, pushing all my hair inside of it. I was able to get away without anyone questioning it, even the man who had been standing close to her car. That was a close one. Luckily, it was one of the men from Skull's crew that I hadn't really talked to. When I pretended to talk on my cell, saying I was just leaving Hayden's and would be by to get my baby soon, the man stood back. I have my letter opener hidden on the inside of my pants, with the handle wedged under my belt. I sharpened it with an electric knife sharpener I had in the kitchen. I wish it was sharper, but it will have to do. I left the brass knuckles. I didn't want to push my luck. The other items I have on my keychain. The taser looks like a tube of lipstick and is miniature in size. Dee Dee swears it works as well as a regular one, and I'm praying she's right. My pepper spray is on the chain, too, and at first glance, it looks like a small flashlight with a fancy clip. I'm praying I get these by Blade. I'm scared I won't. I close my eyes and say a silent prayer. As I get out of the car, I notice the scent of strawberries. It seems to get stronger and more vibrant the closer I get to the warehouse entrance. It seems completely out of place. I have no idea where it could be coming from. But I like it. It almost feels comforting. I get all the way to the front door, alone. I'm starting to think this is all a hoax. Surely someone should have met me by now. When I push on the door, it's not even locked. My nose curls at the scent that assaults me. It's so dark I can't see anything inside. Thankfully, that warm, fresh scent of strawberries hits me again, slowly drowning out the other putrid smell. It's completely dark inside. I feel along the inside door for a light switch, but find nothing. I need something to keep the door wedged open. I've lost hope Michael is inside, but maybe I can find something in there that will help locate him. I can't find anything big enough, and between my nerves and the letdown of not seeing Michael, I'm feeling deflated. I want to scream. Instead, I can feel the tears want to fall. I refuse to let them. Michael wouldn't give up on me, and I can't let this stop me either. Maybe I have something in the car that will hold the door open. I take just a few steps when a hand clamps down on my shoulder. I let out a squeal of shock, which turns into a cry of pain as the hand gets more forceful and turns me around. I expect to see Blade when he pulls me to face him. I'm surprised when it's not. I know this guy, though. Blade's brother. Just as I come to terms with that realization, it hits me that this is the same man who came into the bakery and scared me. Why couldn't I have placed him then? It's my fault Michael is in this mess. He came by the club a couple of times, though I was never sure why. He and Blade clearly hated each other. If he's helping Blade against us, blood apparently trumps hate. Blade never allowed me to talk to the man. He even locked me in my room whenever his brother showed up. He told me he didn't want Drummer to hurt me. I didn't care, as long as I had nothing to do with Blade or any of the club. Now, however, with Drummer looking down at me with those cold, dark eyes trained directly on me, I have to wonder if Blade wasn't right to separate us. Blade is evil, but vileness seems to seep from the pores of this man.
"I've been waiting for you, Hayden,"
he says with a dark smile, sending chills up my back and causing the hair on the back of my neck to rise. I swallow down bile and the urge to vomit. I can't panic now. I have a plan. Devil and Skull will be here very soon. I just need to stall. And find Michael. Please be alive, Michael. Please.
Chapter 49. Beast. Beast, oh beast, wake up. It's time for the fun to start. I hear Drummer's voice from a distance. I can't open my eyes. I try, but it seems impossible. Then I see a bright flash of light and realize they're already open. I just can't focus. I've given up hope of surviving, but if I ever manage to get my hands on that motherfucker, I'll drag him into hell with me. Help is coming. You need to be ready, That voice inside again. Is it Annabelle? It sounds like my daughter, but then again, I know I'm dying. I'm almost completely out of it most of the time. Starving, the torture, and being locked in a room with a rotting corpse can't be a good combination. Add in that I still have a knife sticking out of my stomach. There's no vent or window, and I'm running a fever. Chances are I'm completely delusional. Wake up! The voice practically shouts in my head. I jerk from the force of it, but I'm not sure I can anymore. I just want to sleep. Hayden is here. No, I mumble. It's a trick. It has to be. Michael? Hayden's voice breaks out of the darkness and seems to wrap around me.
Oh, God! Michael!
I hear her anguished cry. She's here. She's in this hellhole. Drummer has her. Fear slices through me like a razor-sharp blade. How did she get here? Motherfucker! Devil was supposed to take care of her. She was supposed to be safe. There's no way I can save her. I can't even fucking see her. No! I scream. My voice sounds as bleak and hopeless as I feel.
Get him down from there,
Hayden screams. I'm trying to shake myself out of the haze I'm in. I'm surprised I'm conscious. Then again, maybe I'm not. Maybe this is all just one fucked up dream brought on by the fever. That would make more sense, because there's no way Hayden could be here. Devil wouldn't let me down that much. He knows to defend Hayden and Connor with his own life. Motherfucker. Is Connor here too? It doesn't matter. It's just a dream. A nightmare. It's not real. I like him hanging. He's like my trophy. A man should have a trophy when he catches his prey. Let him down! Hayden screams again. I bet she's beautiful, even if she's just a figment of my imagination. You're not real, I mourn. I don't want her here, but I would have loved to have one more kiss, feel her arms around me one last time. Did she know how much she meant to me? I'm so fucked up in my head some days I can't be sure.
I'm real, Michael. Hold on, please, honey. Just hold on. For me?
I always did like it when she called me honey. I never got those soft nicknames before from anyone other than Hayden. I never wanted them before her, really. Her touch feels so cool against my skin. And real. She feels real. I hope I never wake up. I'm sure I told you to bring my nephew. Where is he? Did you purposely disobey me, Hayden? I may have to punish you. Connor. No. I want out of this dream. I know how these things work, and I can't stand Hayden getting hurt, even in a dream. I have to wake up. I have to.
Chapter 50. Hayden. Oh, God. I thought I was prepared. I really did. I don't think anything could prepare me for the shape that Michael is in right now. I can't see that well, but Michael is hanging on a hook with rope and his poor wrists. As if he can hear my thoughts, Drummer hits a switch and a light comes on behind Michael. It doesn't cast a lot of light toward us, but it highlights Michael perfectly. His head is down and he looks dead, hanging there. His hair and beard are longer than before, and his clothes are sticking to him, drenched from water. The part that chills me the most is the blood that runs down Michael's arms and chest, all coming from his hands. There can't be any skin left on his wrists. More scars. Hasn't this beautiful man been put through enough? How is this fair? How can God, or fate, or whatever, let this happen to Michael over and over? He suffered enough. I couldn't get Connor here without the men noticing. You had to know that. It was all I could do to slip away. But I'm here. Your brother can get his revenge on me. You need to let Michael go. He has nothing to do with Blade and the vendetta he has against me, I yell, trying to lift on Michael to relieve some of the pressure off his poor wrists. It's useless. Michael is limp, and he's not a small man. It's then I notice the knife in his stomach.
This has nothing to do with Blade. Do you really think I'd go to such lengths to help someone I can't stomach? He was too weak to live.
I ignore Drummer. Michael has a small knife buried all the way to the hilt in his stomach. It's small, so it might not be very deep, but how long has it been there? How has it not fallen out? My first instinct is to remove it. But what if I do that and he bleeds out? I've heard of that happening. Well, on television it's happened, but that could have truth in it. I'm so scared, and I don't know what else to do but scream. You stabbed him? Let him down now, I scream again. Drummer laughs. He laughs. I was afraid I would panic in this situation. I wasn't sure I could keep the panic attacks from coming back when I was under pressure, yet seeing Drummer laugh. As Michael rambles in the background about dreams and being in hell, all I can do is feed off my anger. I want to kill him. He hasn't checked my pockets or anything. He's an idiot, and I find myself wishing I had brought the brass knuckles after all, because I'm pretty sure I could beat him to death at this point. Instead, I turn slightly, fishing my keys out of my pocket. I grab the taser and pray I remember exactly how it works. Dee Dee cautioned me to make sure I don't hit him where his clothes are thick and might stop how well the gun works.
It's not your job to tell me to let him down. You have no power here, Hayden. You're going to be my new toy. I'm almost sad that Beast isn't more alert. I'd like him to see the pain you're in before I kill both of you,
he taunts. He's closer now, too. It sounds like he's almost directly behind me. I turn on him, and my eyes go wide when I see he's really just a couple steps away. I thought I'd have a little more room. I pull the trigger on the small device and see as sparks flare out and the leads connect to him. His body shakes, and I'm feeling proud. Until he keeps advancing on me. Shit.
Chapter 51. Beast. Help her. She needs your help. Daddy, help her. I want to ignore the voice. I'm losing my mind. I know I am. Something in the desperation of it, however, jars me. I shake my head, needing to clear it, wanting to try and help. I feel my whole body warm, encircled by that scent that has been comforting me in this hell. I can barely make out two figures in front of me. They're blurry, but I'd know Hayden's hair anywhere. God, I know she is a figment of my imagination, but I want to touch her. I need to touch her just one more time. Do you think I'm a pussy? I hear Drummer laugh. He steps closer to Hayden. Too close. She would really get a kick out of the juice I'm shooting through you, wouldn't she, Beast? Perhaps that is just one way I'll torture her while you're still breathing, he adds. I hear Hayden's gasp as he wrenches something from her hand. I'm not sure what they're talking about, but the idea of him doing anything to Hayden scares the fuck out of me. My anger helps me to center myself. I have to be alert. I have to figure out what is going on. I find if I concentrate hard enough that things come into focus for short bursts. He's holding something. I can't see what it is. Hayden is backing into me, her head hitting my knees. Her body is shaking, so whatever it is, I figure it's some kind of weapon. She moves to my side, still backing away from Drummer. He's saying something to her that I can't make out what over the pain drumming in my head. It feels like I'm underwater and useless, but I have to do something. I force my body to move. It's not easy. Everything feels like dead weight. The sting of pain through my wrists runs through down my arms, and the agony it brings is enough to spur me so that I'm more alert. I hold on to that. I let the pain help me to focus, kicking out harder. I still can't hear what Drummer and Hayden are saying, but I now have enough momentum up that I kick my legs out on my next swing and capture Drummer's head between my legs. I scissor them and tighten them to the point his head is trapped against my upper thigh, just above the knee. I try to focus my strength on my legs, but I know it won't last long. I can already feel my body weakening. Run, Hayden, run, I growl, praying she does as I ask. I know instinctively this will be my last chance to give her freedom. I need Hayden to be free, even if she isn't real. I need that memory to take with me when I die. Hayden free and laughing. Hayden experiencing life and being happy. Hayden and Connor living on.
Chapter 52. Hayden. Michael is alive, The joy that runs through me at that thought is something I can't describe. I knew he was still alive. Sure, but this shows he's more alert than I thought. He's fighting to survive. Drummer yells, doing his best to break free. I know he's going too soon. I can tell by the way that Michael is shaking. I don't have much time. I reach down and grab the letter opener that's wedged against my belt and pull it out. I'm so nervous. The slick, silver handle nearly slides out of my hand. I tighten my hold, screaming. I only have his lower body because Michael's legs cover most of Drummer's head, neck, and upper chest. I duck down quickly and stab him once in the stomach, then twice, then three times. Drummer is screaming at me, and I feel his hands in my hair, ripping at it to get away from him. My shot at saving Michael is gone. I can't accept defeat that easily. Michael wouldn't. Look at him now, still trying to help, even in the shape he's in. I can't give up. Drummer slings me away. Luckily, I take the opener with me. I fall hard against the concrete, but my hand hits the forgotten keychain and taser. I don't know how to reuse it. I'm not sure it's possible because wires are hanging from it now. I still have the mace, though, and at least it's military grade. I quickly hold it up, and as Drummer advances toward me, I spray it into his eyes.
You fucking cunt!
He screams, bringing his arms up to guard his eyes. He takes several steps backwards. I'm trying to figure out what to do when Michael surprises me again. He takes one more swing and uses both legs to kick Drummer, propelling him backwards. He lands 4 or 5 feet away with a thud.
I'm going to fucking gut both of you, he growls.
For a minute, I just stand there, amazed that Michael managed to help that much. My man is amazing. I look around and see an old crate. I drag it over and push it under Michael. His legs don't really stand firm under him, but I hope it takes a little of his weight away from his wrists. I hear Drummer screaming. I look to see him standing up, breathing heavily, and stalking his way toward us. I frantically search around, trying to find anything to protect us with. Besides this damn letter opener. Why couldn't I have brought a pistol or something? It's not like Drummer even checked me for weapons. They hide those things in their shoes in the movies. I could have done that. All thought stops when I see a body. A bloated body in the corner. I can't see much, but you can tell it's been here for a little while. How is it not stinking? I guess I can smell a little, but not like I should. Just strawberries. I shake it off. You better run while you still can. Michael's friends will be here any minute, and when they find you...
You two will already be dead,
he says, his eyes red and crying from the mace. The light casts an eerie glow on him, and he looks even more menacing. I clench the letter opener tighter, trying to figure out exactly what to do. Why? Why would you do this? You don't even like Blade. What can he give you that would make you do this?
He can't give me nothing anymore, Drummer sneers. He's rotting.
I guess that answers the question of who the body is. Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. Then what's the point? Leave before the others get here. Leave Michael and me alone, I plead with him, but I know it's useless. He's deranged and completely unstable. Where the hell are Devil and Skull?
Your Michael is the reason I didn't get to know my daughter. He's the reason she's dead. I'm going to take everything he cares about away from him and then kill him. It's my right,
he screams the last sentence, lunging at me. Michael moves his body so it shoves me away. I stumble and fall to the ground just in time to see